Hey everyone, welcome back. My name is Lynn Wilson and thank you for coming today to receive hope for today. Are you in need of hope? You know, some days we're good, I can do it, and some days we're not so good and I can't do it. I don't know where you are today, but it's okay. No matter where you are, Jesus loves you. Would no matter where you are, the whole point of us being here is to serve the King of Kings. And we're going to have bad days. We're going to have bad weeks. We're going to have bad months and maybe a bad year. That's going to happen. But we have to know that the Lord will get us through it. It doesn't mean it will be easy. I can attest to that. I've been through the last 2 years have been pretty rough for me. Ooh, you know, you kind of like if you really sat down and you think about it, you're just overwhelmed and devastated by certain things. But then I have to say, I got a purpose. I'm breathing today because I have a purpose. And I want to kind of bring that back to what we talked about last week. Last week, I showed you some pictures. I showed you my friend Anthony, showed you his picture. We talked about the impact that he left on my life. And if you did not catch last week's podcast, you definitely want to go back, listen through this one, or go back and watch that one first so it ties it all in together. We talked about my friend Robert. And then we talked about how what Robert did and what we need to be doing is bringing everything back to the cross. You know, there's a song that I absolutely love by Mark Lowry. And in that song, it says, "The God of all eternity wants to spend the rest of it with me." Ooh. Just sit back and close your eyes for a moment and repeat those words. The God of all eternity wants to spend the rest of it with me. Does that not make you feel like, kind of makes me feel special and like a peon all in one, you know, one sentence? Because why would he want to spend it with Lynn? What do I have to offer? Why would he love me so much? When you look at your own life, you're just a mess. But he loved me so much that he died on the cross and he wants to spend eternity with me. I've heard this from one person and I borrowed that phrase many times over, that he took your name to the cross. When the Lord died on the cross, he died for all, and every name was on that cross that he bled and died on. So if you've not accepted the Lord as your Savior, today is the day. So last week I threw some names out, just crazy names. Lucille Ball, Brad Pitt, Santa Claus, Carol Burnett, Michael Jackson, Prince, Princess Diana. These are just names of, you know, random famous people that have one impact or another on our life. Sometimes you mention a name and people are like, oh, no, no, no. And other ones, oh, yeah, pretty cool. And I shared a story about my own life on how one celebrity left an impact on my life that really changed me, that helped me move forward as a person and my own personality. She's not a believer, but she still left an impact. And no matter who we talk to or connect with, people leave an impression and an impact on our life. We talked about, again, Anthony and Robert, and Anthony left an impact on my life by doing good and doing right by me and loving my family and taking good care of us. But that was all good, but it was earthly based. I talked about Robert, good man, loved my family, did right by me. We served in ministry. We raised our kids together. But everything Robert did brought us back to the cross, which is what we should be doing, everything that we do. And you know, I have people sometimes kind of, I don't want to say giggle, but you know, like, yeah, like everything I do. Yes, everything you do. When you go grocery shopping in the grocery store, you should be, your countenance should be that such that people can see. Maybe they don't see Jesus written across your face, but they see different. Why is that woman nice? Why is she polite? Why did somebody just hit her with a cart, you know, as they're going down the aisle because they're not paying attention, and she didn't curse or do a gesture or anything like that, and she just turned and smiled and said, "It's okay." And that person still continued busily on their way and ignored the fact that she was kind. That's okay. God knows. We don't know where that person's coming from and going to and living through. We have no idea. My dad used to tell me when people were speeding and they were tailgating you, you know, impatient. I had a guy last night, I was coming home from my mom, and he would back up and pull up and back, like, and then he was like swerving behind me, and there was no place for me to pull over. But as soon as I could, I pulled to the side and I let him pass. most people would say, what are you doing that for? Jam on the brakes, you know, and that anger comes out. Yeah, I feel like that sometimes. But my dad said to me, you never know where that person needs to be. Maybe they have a loved one dying at home and they're rushing to get there. Maybe, I don't know. That's not for me to judge. You know what? Life's too short. Don't get so caught up in the anger and the junk and all that kind of stuff. Leave an impression and an impact on a life that just shows that you're different, that Christ is living in you. Last week we talked about Philippians 1:6. He began a good work in you. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you are a believer, you are a new creation. You're still a sinner, saved by grace. You will still get angry and annoyed when somebody wants to tailgate you or hit you with a cart in the grocery store or grabs that last package of toilet paper when we needed it. Stop. God will supply all my needs. I do not need to be running after as if life is going to come to an end. If it comes to an end, I'm going to eternity. It's okay. God will supply my needs, not the local grocery store. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We have to remember God is at work in our lives. What's that song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. How does it go? It took him just a day to make the moon and the stars, Jupiter and Mars, something like that, but he's still working on me. He created the planets, boom, they're done. He created the seas, boom, they're done. He created Lynn Wilson, she's not done. She's not done. He's still working on me. You know what the problem is? You want to know? I'll tell you what the problem is. Why the Lord is still working on me. I don't know about you. You guys, you might have it all together. He's still working on me because I refuse to listen to what he tells me to do. There are days I am right on spot. I can hear the Lord talking and I'm like, you know what? You got it, God. I'm going to do this. There's other days I hear the Lord talking to me and I'm like, I don't like what you just told me. Like when I'm a little kid, when my parents would say, this is what you need to do. I don't like it. And you'd sneak around and do something else. And you never thought your parents would find out, and sometimes they didn't because they're human. And other times, now that I'm a parent, you realize they did catch you and figured maybe they'd let you fall down and figure out you shouldn't have done that, or they would correct you in another way. But let me tell you, the Lord is perfection. He doesn't even need to watch to see what you're going to do. He already knows what you're going to do. And we are such a stupid people that we think we can hide and go, he'll never see me. Not the case. Yes, the Lord is still working on me. In Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. I explain it this way. If this room was pitch black and we're recording and I walked in the room, I should be able to light up this room as if I was the brightest light bulb around, but not because it's Lynn, but because of Jesus Christ living in me. We are to be a light to this world. We are to be the salt. We are to leave an impression. We are to leave an impact on the lives of those around us. So we talked last week about, you know, making a difference and how can I make a difference and do I make a difference and where are you today with that? I'm just looking up a Bible verse as we're talking here that I want to refer to. If you have your Bibles and you want to open to Acts chapter 9, that's where we're going to be when we close out. So I'm practical. I did a seminar this weekend and I said, you know, some people that speak are like filet mignon. I'm a cheeseburger. But I wrote a devotional for a devotional book that we have and I called it Burger Bites. And you might go, what? Burger Bites? Let me explain. I have not been created to be filet mignon. That's just not me. But some people are. They're well-spoken, they're very educated, and they have a insight to doctrine that would blow my mind. That's not who I am. That's not me. I am everyday practical, you know, wife, mother, homeschool mom, career woman, you know, living life, doing the things, and so on. But I can tell you this, I love filet mignon. The first time I had it, I was on my honeymoon and I was like, this is the best meal ever. I've had it a handful of times in my 30 plus years of marriage. Too expensive, not something I would eat on the regular, but when I do eat it, it's a treat. But I'll tell you one thing I could live on probably every day is a cheeseburger. I could probably handle that almost every day for lunch or every day for dinner and I'd be good. So I want to talk about that kind of thing. I'm not talking about the filet mignons. There's going to be things that you do for people that are like, whoa, I can't believe it. That's awesome. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with being a little filet mignon once in a while. But we need to bring it back to the burger, the cheeseburger, with or without the cheese, however you want it. Ketchup, mayonnaise, you know, a little salt and pepper. Make it nice. Make it presentable. But we need to be practical. And that's what I'm all about. My life at work is practical. My job is to make sure when you come to Keswick, your stay here was a success. And I need to do whatever that I can possibly do to create that atmosphere for you. And when I'm home, my job is to make my kids and my husband a success and my home a success and everything that I do a success, but I do it in a very practical way. This weekend, I had a group of women that took a seminar with me and I had them hold their thumbs up. And I probably have shared this with you before and I want you to hold your thumbs up. No one's around. Don't get weird. You know, you're probably by yourself watching this on your TV. Hold your thumbs up. You know, these thumbprints that we have, our fingerprints, they are unique unto us. Nobody else has my thumbprints. So I talked about that. If I were to come up to you and hey, Lynn, how you doing? See what I'm doing? How you doing? I've now left my impression on your life. I left an impact on your life. What kind of an impact and what kind of an impression did I leave? That's to be seen. I don't know where you're at in life. I hope and trust that as I connect with people, now I have connected with people and made a bad impression and I've not impacted well. I have to leave that at the cross. Lord, forgive me. I messed up. Forgive me. And I have to just know that God will fix it and move that person forward and so on. But I want to strive to do better. And I want to strive to do things really well. But how do I do that in a practical way? Do you have somebody hurting in your life? Maybe somebody you know has just lost a loved one. Maybe somebody's lost their job. Or maybe somebody's down. Or maybe somebody's having a great day. And you just want to say, hey, I think you're special. You want to encourage them. The Bible talks about lifting and edifying one another up. Do you make a difference? How do you make a difference? I'm going to give you a simple story. There's a guest here at Keswick, and I don't know her well, and she doesn't really know me well. We first name basis, you know, hi, how are you? Sell a ticket, see you at the next event, that type of thing. My dad passed away, and 2 days after that, she came over with a plate wrapped in foil, and in that was a chocolate cake. And on another platform that I speak on, I talked about, does it matter? I said, yes, it matters. And I want to bring it down to, yes, you matter. That chocolate cake not only was the best tasting cake I ever had, but it was just what I needed. You know, my dad passed away and I was like, oh, you know, the insides are churning and you're upset. And I needed comfort. I needed something. Chocolate cake is comfort food. That just made my whole day. And you say, what's a chocolate cake? It was such an impact on my life. I have shared that story several times over. Can you make a chocolate cake? You don't know how to bake? Okay, go to the store and get a chocolate cake. Bring somebody some comfort, whether it's practical. Maybe make them a meal or bring them some cookies. Or, you know, they have a flat tire, go and help them pump that tire up so they can get to the service station. Listen, we have social media. You can put something out on Facebook. You can text them. You can tweet on Twitter. Sorry about that. You can write a note. You can make a phone call. You could send a postcard. You can do all these types of avenues. You can make a meal. You can do so much. You're supposed to be a new creation in Christ. We should be loving each other. We should be leaving an impact in each other. And everything we do, you know, that chocolate cake softened the moment. You know, you're feeling like someone dies and a loved one and your heart is pounding and I got a chocolate cake. I had a slice of chocolate cake and a cup of tea. And I had a moment. I could just breathe for a moment over a piece of chocolate cake. You know what? Allow them to just sit and enjoy a cup of coffee, a cup of hot cocoa, a cup of tea, whatever. Here's a great example. Go to the store, Dollar Tree, $1. You don't have a lot of money? Most people have a dollar. If you don't, save your pennies so you can get a dollar. Maybe buy a coffee mug, put some hot chocolate packets in it, maybe some tea bags, something like that. You know, put a little bow on the outside with a little note, thinking of you today. Sit back and have a cup of tea while you enjoy your prayer time. I would love to get a mug with some tea bags in it. I love those things because that makes me realize somebody thought of me in a unique and special way, that they wanted to go out of their way to make me feel special. I told you I'm practical. We're going to get real practical here today. I buy these and I stockpile these for the season. This is the best ever pumpkin bread. This is not sponsored. I make pumpkin bread. I have my own homemade recipes and they're good. But when I make this, so if you know Bill Welty, don't tell Bill Welty. Don't let the secret out of the bag. When I make this particular pumpkin bread, everybody in the office says to me, oh, can I get your recipe? That's the best bread ever. When I make my homemade, it's good, but this one's the best. This is $4.97 at Walmart. And you get everything you need. You get your can, it's very heavy. You get a can of pumpkin, you get your powdered package with your everything in it. You add eggs, water, and vegetable oil, and you're in. It makes two good-sized loaves of pumpkin bread. And they show you at the bottom, everything's here. Or it makes two big loaves, or you get the containers at the Dollar Tree with the four little like tin foil pans, and you can get four, and it can make four small loaves. You say, what's pumpkin bread? You got a neighbor? We have an elderly neighbor. We get their mail every day for them. And in turn, what she does is she sends brownies or cookies periodically to say thank you. You got a neighbor that, you know, maybe lost a loved one or is kind of down or somebody you've been witnessing to. I don't want to hear it. You ever talk to somebody? I don't want to hear about it. That's your God. I don't want to hear it. You know what? Don't talk. Let your life, somebody said that at Robert Hayes' memorial, that he could walk in a room and not talk, and yet you could hear what he was saying. His life, his whole person spoke Christ. So don't use words. Knock on your neighbor's door and bring them a loaf of pumpkin bread. And just put a note, thinking of you today. You might even get a, what's this for, kind of attitude. Or you might get a thank you with a look like, what's this all about? Or maybe you'll just get a nice thank you. You do that a few times, and you do something practical, you would be surprised how that can turn a relationship around. You want to take it up a notch? You want to do something really special? Get a pretty plate. Something like this. That's a dollar. Take your pumpkin bread, put it on, wrap it with a bow. And let me tell you, you will be in business with whoever you are trying to share the love of Christ with. I don't know where you are today. I don't know what God's doing in your life. I don't know what He needs to do in your life. I don't know how He needs to change you. I know every day I wake up, and every day I want to tell you that the first thing I say to myself is, what is God going to do today? That's not the case. That's what it should be. I should be excited to see what God is going to do today. Woke up today, it was pouring rain. I look outside the window now and the sun is bright. We have a nor'easter coming our way. We talked about changes in the season and the last couple of videos and how we handle change and things that we know about and things we don't know about. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't need to know. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you, you need to step aside outside of yourself. We are a self-centered people. We are very, many people I know are very negative. And listen, if you are a believer like me, you got to stop. We are to have the joy of the Lord. We are to be different. Why would somebody want to talk to you when you're an old grump? Are you old and rusty in your personality? I did a podcast, it might have even been last year, about are you old and rusty? Do you squeak when you walk because you're so cheap that you would never spend a dollar on a person because that's my money? Listen, that's not your money, that's God's money. You ask the Lord, how should I be spending my money? Do you need to have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in the bank? No. You can take a dollar and you can buy a mug. You can take a dollar and make some pumpkin bread. And you can do something for someone else. If you are sitting in a pity pot right now, if you're really down, I'm telling you, it's not easy. Because there's times where, you know, I'm down because something, you know, bad happened to me. It's not that I'm just in a bad way, like from my attitude. But the best thing I can do is get my hands busy and do for someone else. And then it gets my mind busy. And all of a sudden, maybe hours have gone by and I look back and I made it through that moment in time. Do something for someone else. And as you do it, you ask the Lord to bless. Lord, help me to do the right thing. Lord, help put somebody on my mind that needs practical love. They need that pumpkin bread, Lord. They need, maybe you have a, you know, a famous pie that you make, or a special cookie or special meal, or maybe you're really good at writing notes. Do that. Just write a beautiful note. Whatever it's going to take, do that. I want to close with this chapter 9 in Acts and these few verses. And if you need to sit back and close your eyes, do that. I want you to absorb this particular story. There was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias! Ananias said, Behold, Lord, here I am. The Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street named Straight. Inquire at the house of Judas for someone named Saul, man of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen a vision. He saw a man named Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him to give his sight back to him. Ananias replied, Lord, I have heard from many about that man and how evil he is and what he's done to the saints in Jerusalem. Here in Damascus, he has the authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, Be on your way. Get up, Lynn. Get up. Go. Go to him, for he is my chosen vessel to carry my name before the nations and their kings and before the children of Israel. I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went on his way, and when he entered the house, he laid his hands on Saul. Ananias said, Brother Saul, the Lord who appeared to you on the road while you were traveling has sent me to you. I come so that I may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. Then Saul arose and was baptized. He took food and was strengthened. Saul stayed for several days, and the disciples who were stayed with the disciples who were at Damascus. Who is your Saul today? Who is that person you're looking and you're going, God, wait, time out. Okay, let's talk. You cannot think that you want me to go and talk to that person. Do you have any clue what they're like? You think the Lord doesn't? Hello? How many times have I said, you gotta be kidding me. There's no way I wanna be nice to that person. Make pumpkin bread for them? No, you know how they treat me or what the attitude? Yeah, I get all that, I get it. But sometimes that little gesture, that tiny little thing, is what God needs us to do. Saul had a vision from the Lord. How many people are out there seeking and searching for the Lord? And they don't know what, who, how, and they got this thing going on in their prayer time, and they think they're praying, they're not sure. And then God lays someone on your heart. And you are the one to connect with that Saul to make it all better. Now, I'm not saying you're going to lay hands on somebody and they're going to see again. I don't have the power to do that. Only the Lord has the power to do that. But I can lay hands and I can touch a life and I can leave an impact, an impression. I can follow what the Lord is telling me to do. I hear you, Lord. You want me to go visit so-and-so. You want me to call. You want me to text. You want me to send a card. You want me to get a mug. You want me to gift somebody with pumpkin bread. Lord, you want me to. You want me to. You want me to what? you want me to bring them back to the cross. Whether it's encouraging a believer or it's sharing your faith with someone that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you are not passionate, if you are not excited about what God is and doing around us, don't listen to the news. God's got that. He wrote the end of the chapter. We know the end of the story. Forget the news. It's going to happen. There's going to be another tornado, another hurricane, another war, and another. It will happen. Don't worry about it. God's got that. What he doesn't always have is your heart. And that's what he wants. He wants you to make a difference for his name's sake. I heard a pastor when I was probably 12 years old, 10 years old, and he said you should always have a tear in the corner of your eye. Why do you want to always be crying? He said in ministry, we should have a tear in the corner of our eye. We should feel the tenderness of the Lord. We should feel passionate about what we do. We should have a tear when someone gets saved. We should have a tear for those that are around us. That just makes you that more tender. All right, I'm going to challenge you once again. Who is your Saul? Are you going to make a difference in a life today? Who is God laying on your heart? I have nobody. I got an empty mind, empty plate, empty heart. You know what? God is just waiting to fill it. He will fill it. Whether you do something practical or a little bit more filet mignon, a little bit more cheeseburger, however it comes out, that's between you and the Lord and the gifts and the abilities, etc., that he has given you. I'm so glad you came today. Do not forget to order your free book, When You Feel Like Giving Up, by Dr. Ray Pritchard. It's free. It's not a big book, as you can see. I'd be glad to send it to you. Reach out and I'll get that into your hands. Thanks so much for coming to today's podcast.